Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this October 10th day, 2020. We're going to be looking at depression and all sorts of misnomers about our depression. What is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, which seems to be causing people a lot of difficulty. We have a lot of propaganda going on right now. It's election time, and it's very, very important that we understand the nature of our propaganda in our heads, what is going on within us. You have to be very understanding about some things that people don't want to understand. I was watching a little clip from Al Gore this morning, and he was asked a direct question. Why is the base of President Trump so strong on the idea of global warming and everything? He doesn't believe there is any. Mr. Trump doesn't. And Gore never answered the question. Nobody answers this question. Nobody. Nobody wants to look at the fact that the king has no clothes. And it is us that is the problem. And we get caught up in this idea of our own propaganda, our own beliefs, our own ideals. We get so caught up in it that we actually believe our own propaganda. We don't want to really see what is going on in our life as the village burns down, both in metaphor and real life in this world, in the existence of this life of that we call our reality. It's all happening, and we aren't doing anything about our withinness. Look, you need to understand something. Everything is happening according to the state of my within. Everything is in accord with the way I am from within myself. I have to understand that. I have to comprehend that within me. I have to go within and start seeing what my issues are, what the propaganda of my ego is, and what it's telling me. I am the issue. It is what is going on within me that is the issue. Don't be blaming politics and all of that. They're there, oh, definitely. And they're the ones setting the pace, absolutely, because they know we are crazy. It's called gaslighting. It is a form of trying to convince another person, the psychology of another person, that something is happening when it's not. And it is something that can be done through politics and through fear and intimidation. And Americans are easily intimidated and paranoid, and they want to fight. So what you are seeing in our society today, what you are seeing in our politics, is the pandemic of our own paranoia, because we didn't take care of our minds. We didn't take care of the quality of our thoughts. We didn't take care of it. We didn't go to clarity. We went to infirmity. We are infirmed by our whole idea of right and wrong, good and bad, and what is real and what is not real. And because we live in such a manner, we live in a tremendous tragedy. So we're going to be looking at depression and how that is induced and why we're depressed and yada, yada, yada. The first question comes from Thomas. He lives, let me see here, in Oklahoma. Wow. And he asked this question. I feel depressed and I want my life back. I am hoping that in the upcoming election, we will get a new president and things will change. Yes, no, he puts for me. Thomas, no, nothing is going to change. You could have Jesus Christ as the president of the United States and nothing would change. First of all, he wouldn't get any votes. So you have to really understand something. My depression or your depression is caused by our state of within. What am I doing within myself to make all this possible? That's the real question. Everybody tries to avoid the whole idea of seeing what's going on within them. They don't want to see it. They think life is happening from the outside in. And then we react outside in. But really, it's happening from within out. So my indifference and my ego, the emperor of all malice within me, the issues of right and wrong and good and bad and moral issues that people think they have, they're all hidden in the unconscious mind. And we live in this unconscious mind forever and a day. And we don't ever really look meditatively or thoughtfully even at the quality of our thoughts, where they come from, how a thought comes into being within my mind, how it starts, how it manifests, and then how it rises into action and reaction. We don't do any of that inner kind of work. Why? Because we don't think we have to, or we don't want to see what's going on within us. People are not prone to spiritual awakening. I have clients that I work with in counseling. I wouldn't call them students, but I have clients, and they're young people who are adverse to looking within themselves. They'll look at their psychology a little bit, and they'll hunker down a little bit and see, oh, well, I reacted this way psychologically because he reacted that way in him and put that on me, blah, blah. They don't want to see, what is it in me that makes all this possible? They don't want to see it. They don't want to acknowledge it. They don't want to get it. Do you want to get it, Thomas? Do you want to understand what's going on within you? I've been watching this, and I highly recommend it, Unfit. It's a documentary on Trump. It is important, I think, that every person see it, understand it, kind of get it. It is about the psychological deficits of this man, that he is a malignant narcissist. He gaslights. But the thing that is most interesting to me is how he speaks the language of what people are thinking. And I'm going to say that I've said it before, Thomas, the American public is not very bright. We are not smart people. We allow bullies to override us. We don't see past it. And even when we see the truth that, you know, Trump has given us a ton of lies, we believe that he hasn't, or those who are a part of his clan, his base, think that he has done no wrong and this is all a lie. Like, for instance, wearing a mask is taking away your freedom. See, that kind of attitude, that kind of belief is very dangerous. I have to give up my quote-unquote right to wear, not wear a mask or even to wear a mask, whatever, for the sake of loving my neighbor, of caring about people, of showing respect towards people that might get sick if I didn't wear that mask. And whether or not you think that this is a God-given right not to or whatever doesn't really matter. It's the psychology behind it. Your depression and wanting things to get back to normal would be like saying, I want to get rid of this lung cancer so I can get back to smoking again. It's even illogical. It really is. But people don't want to change. People don't want to see this for what it is. Going within oneself can be very disillusioning, and we don't want to be disillusioned, and we don't want to be wrong, because wrong doesn't means that we as a person ain't right. And if I ain't right, then I'm not as good as other people, blah, 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 blah. And it goes into all sorts of craziness. Don't let your mind go to waste in fantasy, in belief, in theory. Don't let it. We have to practice some sense of inner restraint from our own thoughts and the quality of our thoughts. So, Thomas, if I were you, I wouldn't be worried about getting back to normal. I'd be looking at, why am I depressed? Why is it that if I can't have my way, if I can't have my life the way I want it, why do I get depressed? Why is that such an issue? Why am I not easily adapting to this whole pandemic and the limitations put upon me for the sake of what? This whole thing is human. And it has a lot of scourge to it. It's like scurvy. You know, you got to take care of your mind. You got to take care of your body. You've got to be concerned about others because they're the ones that have an effect on your body. And the only person that can change your depression is you. No one else can. It is all about love. Thomas, this all boils down to, do I have enough compassion and kindness in me to want to do things that would help people rather than make people sick or hurt people? Do I have a love that is greater than my emotionality tells me is love? I have to want love, as I say, more than wanting what I think is love. And if I don't have that, if I don't have that within me, I fail miserably. So to answer your question, the elections are going to prove nothing. Biden or Trump, it isn't going to matter, really. I mean, human beings are human beings. Do you realize, Thomas, what it takes to become president? How many deals on the side? How much lying and cheating and hiding? Do you realize what it takes? You, by the time you become president, you're pretty corrupt. It's true of any office that people take. You got to make deals and side deals and all sorts of ugly things. Politics are not the way. Transcendence is the way. The only way we are going to overcome all of this is to overcome ourselves, not other people, not political candidates. We are here to overcome ourselves. Know thyself, as Socrates said, and then you will understand how to liberate yourself and still live in this society and the culture that it has become, which is ugly, and sustain a life worth living. I would point your attentions to my TV program on the website at aspire.org, A Life Worth Living. I hope you will go and take a look at that. It's about Socrates. It's about some real important things about livingness. Thank you, Thomas, and please forgive me. Namaste. The next question, this one's a little weird. It's from Tina. She didn't tell me where she lives. God wants our rights back. When will this happen? When we can be Americans again, Tina. Tina, when I was a young person in school, I had to read The Ugly American. I also had to read the book Black Like Me. Two books that really shaped and molded a lot of insight for me about how to understand human beings. Human beings are pretty much the way they are by the age of 11 or 12 years old. It's basically over. And very few changes can be made in that kind of person because they have finalized themselves by galvanizing their beliefs and their theories in proportion to how they want to be seen, how they want to be acknowledged, how the emperor of all malice that lives within them, the ego, dictates to them. So when I start thinking about your question and I start thinking about what you're talking about here, our rights, what happens when we have to give up what we think of, as our rights for the sake of a kindness and a compassion towards another person, your fellow American, as you might think of it? Are you there to help your fellow American? Are you there to be your quote-unquote brother's keeper? Or are you not? Is democracy about not caring about each other, every man for himself? I am not my brother's keeper. Well, for a lot of people, it's a double-edged sword, and the duality of it all is a hypocrisy that they can't really solve. We all live together in this yellow submarine, as it were. And whatever it is that we are facing in this togetherness, we are facing as the state of ourselves. What I do within me is going to leak out and eventually be done to you. We are not just individuals like we'd like to believe. Our autonomy is with everything, not one thing. So if I want to live my life in accordance with what I think of as my rights, I'm going to be a narcissist. I wonder why we have a narcissist for a president. I wonder why. Have you ever looked at your possessiveness? Tina, have you ever looked at the whole idea of what it means to be an ugly American? You know, these books, The Black Like Me and The Ugly American, are books that could not be read in schools today. Yet, when I was going to school back in the old days, that was reading that you had to do. And it was good. It brought about in some of us a sense of compassion for humankind. Our human instincts, our human life is really, really amazing. It has a lot to do with how we live in the ruthlessness of and the imperviousness of prehistoric mentality. That's what I want to say. We live primally in primal emotions, and in these primal emotions, survival of the fittest is the most important thing to us. Hence, we live in a great deal of aggravation, and the aggregate of our life is thinking that someone is taking away something we should have. It is time, dear Lisa, that we awaken. We're not going to do it as a populace, but it is time that we awaken. We awaken to a love that is greater than the Bill of Rights gives us. Remember, to live your life in accord with your body and the sensations of your body is the biggest mistake any one of us can make. Because when we do this, when we live in that, we become ruthless and unkind. And this, whether you believe it or not, has its ramifications in our life, its consequences later on in our life and even in our lifetimes to come. If you've ever wondered, how could this happen to me? How could such a thing as whatever happen to me? Well, take a look at the way you live right now, your tendencies to live literally and not from the loving heart that indwells you. I am not teaching a philosophy here. I am offering you a method when I teach you how to meditate. I work with tones and textures that will help replace your unconscious mind eventually if you pursue it with great insight and with great love in you. When you can see the futility of your life that is based on the premise of your body's dictates, the emperor of all malice that lives within us as our identity, as our ego, as what we were taught to be, how we have defined ourselves. When we can understand that, that is when something of the other shore might arise in us and a big change could happen. You seem to think you know God here. And that's a dangerous thing. That's a very dangerous thing to think you know God, especially in an intellectual point of view. But that's another radio program. You know, thank you for your question. I deeply appreciate it. Please forgive me. Namaste. Last question from Kathy in, where is this? In Seattle. Can meditation relieve me of my depression? I can't seem to focus my thoughts. Kathy. Then she goes into how she tries to have no thoughts in her mind and how impossible that is. It's a long email. Kathy, meditation is not ridding yourself of your thoughts. It is not making them go away. Please understand that. It has nothing to do with that. Meditation has to do with allowing yourself to let the thoughts roll by while you are unmoved by them. You are not trying to grasp them. You are not allowing them to make you paranoid. And people who go into depression for long periods of time find that they are depressed. Depressed because they are grabbing thoughts and emotions and thinking to themselves, well, what if, and what if, and what if? So these kind of thoughts taunt us. This is from what I call the emperor of all malice. She or he lives inside of us and conducts business by making us feel afraid all the time. Paranoia is the biggest one. And if I can be made to feel paranoid about my life, I'm going to go into depression. I have to find out why I am the way I am. And you will see it has to do with genetics. It has to do with the induction of fear into my life in a way in which causes me to go into my fight or flight mentality, my primal instinct. And if I listen to talk radio, people like Rush Limbaugh, all these guys that promote for their own benefit all sorts of lies and misunderstandings and misleading people for the sake of their own bank account and cause people to get into a movement of hatred, which is easily done in our society. It is easy to gather many, many thousands, millions of people to live in the fear and the hate of humankind. You can always get people to hate, but to get them to love, to forgive, that is something very difficult to do. So if you're going to get involved in all of that, you got to start looking at your mental habits. What is it that you habitually like to think about? Even if you don't like to think about it, why are you thinking about it? That is something you really need to understand. And if you do understand that, if you do get that, if you do realize what you are doing to hurt yourself, then you have a chance to change some things. Can meditation relieve me of my depression? I don't want to say that. I want to say meditation can reveal to you the cause of your depression. It can show you what you are doing to yourself and how far that really goes. And if you can understand that, then you can do some wonderful things with the course of your living. I got to get out of here. Thank you, Kathy, for your question, and forgive me. Namaste. Well, now, here we are. This is how we're going to kick it off this week. And I have many more tomorrow that I've gotten over the last week. So may this all serve us well. Thank you for listening. And once again, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.